looking at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12, which talks about you and I being forgiven. We've seen what that means, to be forgiven of sins. And last week we began to look how this ought to show in our lives. It ought to make a difference in the lives that we live. We've seen that we ought to live enjoying the peace of God, because it is forgiveness that gives us peace with God, which, and the peace of God is a result of our peace with God. We also saw that we should live lives of liberty. We should not live lives shackled in the chains of sin. It's an unnecessary thing to do. We ought to live lives of courage. Again, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. We closed last week looking at 1 Samuel 15. If we turn there again, we see being forgiven, we can worship the Lord, and our lives ought to be a life of worship. In 1 Samuel 15 and verse 25, "Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. Pardon my sin, and again, that I may worship the Lord." Worship is something that we set aside a day to worship. The Bible teaches us that we're to do that first day of the week, which is what we're doing here today. We also have set aside Wednesday evenings for a set time of worship. So we generally have 2 days that we have set aside for worship. In those 2 days, there's 4 opportunities to worship. There's Sunday school, morning service, evening service, and then, of course, Wednesday evening service. So these are set times of worship. But that's not the only time that we're to worship. We see all through the Old Testament men who built altars unto the Lord. They built altars in various places, and they built altars under various circumstances. But every time you read that they built an altar, that means that they worship God. And our lives ought to be lives of worship. We ought to worship God every single day. Worship is simply an expression of belief in God. Our lives ought to be an expression of our belief in God, our belief, what we believe concerning God. Worship also is an expression of personal need of God. And our lives ought to express that I need God. Worship, of course, is an expression of a desire for God. We ought to do that every day. And the truth is, if we were to worship God every day and we lived in the spirit of worship, it would make a huge difference the specific times that we have set aside for worship. We see that worship is an expression of love to God, which again is something we ought to do with our very lives, and it's an expression of submission to God. You can't worship without submitting to God. You can't just worship God any way you please and disregard God's standards. Worship is submission to the Lord. And you just can't live your life any way you please and be worshiping God. People will live their life contrary to God, and they'll say, "Well, I worship God my own way." But don't you see, you can't worship God in your own way. You've got to worship God His way. That's the only way that He can be worshiped. It's the only way that worship is acceptable to the Lord. Worship is an offering to God. I'm not talking about a monetary offering, though that's part of it. But worship is an offering. We're offering ourselves to God. Worship is an offer of praise. And as Brother Eugene just talked about, it's an offer of thanksgiving as well. All of this is included in worship. And our lives ought to be lives of worship. We have been forgiven. And that alone ought to impel us, ought to motivate us to worship the Lord. So those who are forgiven should live lives of worship to God. Another thing, the forgiven one should always be ready and always be willing to forgive others. The subject of forgiveness of others, I believe, is a subject that many have been confused about for a long time. But the subject of forgiveness of others, if we're honest, is something that we've all struggled with at some given time in our lives. I can't tell you how many people have asked me the question, well, do I have to forgive them since, and then they'll list several things. The very question implies a wrong attitude toward forgiveness. And the very question goes against what the Bible teaches about forgiving others. But we all struggle. We've all struggled with the subject of forgiveness. People have even said, I don't want to forgive them. I don't want to. And again, that's something you need to take up with the Lord. That's something that you need to go to the Lord about. But sometimes people feel that they have a right not to forgive. And if you think about it, of all the emotions that we as humans are capable of having, hate, anger, resentment, are really among the most powerful and the most destructive of our emotions. And those things, hate, anger, resentment, there's others, you can throw in bitterness, you can throw in envy, but those things really go back to a failure to forgive. Well, they didn't ask for forgiveness. So because they didn't ask, you're going to harbor hate, anger, and resentment and destroy your own fellowship with God because they didn't ask. Isn't that foolish? Does somebody have to ask for forgiveness in order for us to forgive? Some people would answer that question definitely. Oh, no doubt about it. If they don't ask for forgiveness, I don't have to forgive them. But again, Matthew 5, verse 23 and 24, that's not what those verses teach. We're to always desire to forgive someone. And we'll go back to Matthew 5, perhaps. But a refusal to forgive will, and it's not might, a refusal to forgive, if you know anything about human nature, will result in hate, anger, and resentment. It's going to. Matthew chapter 24. If we turn there, Matthew 24, verse 10. Matthew 24, verse 10. And then shall they be offended. Now I realize the context here is not talking about personal offense between individuals, but the application is still there. They shall be offended. Well, that's when forgiveness is necessary. You and I become offended by something someone does and shall betray one another. That's connected with being offended. And shall hate one another. That is connected with being offended. An unforgiven spirit brings about torment and bondage. If you fail to forgive someone for whatever reason you have, that really doesn't matter. For whatever reason, that brings torment and bondage to your own life. In Matthew chapter 18, we have a parable beginning with verse 23. We see there, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. That was the right of that individual to do that. He could do that by law. The servant therefore fell down, worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, forgave him the debt. He didn't have to pay it back. Everything was forgiven. But that same servant who was forgiven, and you and I have been forgiven more than 10,000 talents, and 10,000 talents cannot be paid in a lifetime. It's not possible. And this servant could never pay this debt. And you and I had a debt that we could never, ever pay. It was impossible. So the same servant went out. He found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, much less than what he owed his Lord. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me. Same thing that this man did. And I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now again, he did what it was his right to do by law. Man owes him a debt. Can't pay your debt. You're either sold or you're cast into prison. So he does what's lawful, not necessarily what's right, though. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have pity on thee? And you could say, well, but that was his right. But again, is it right? You may say, I don't have to forgive them. But is it right for you not to? Is it right for you not to? This man had every right to cast his fellow servant in prison, but was that the right thing to do, considering what he had been forgiven? Absolutely wasn't. He goes on here, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. You see, he failed to forgive, and now he's delivered to tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. What shall he do? Deliver you unto the tormentors. If ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Delivered to the tormentors. So Forgiveness is one of the antidotes to bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. It's one of the things that we can do to prevent those things from happening. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and verse 32. Let all bitterness, you can justify your bitterness if you want to, but the Bible says let all bitterness, whether it's justifiable in your mind or not, it still falls under this verse. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind in place of these things that are mentioned there in verse 31. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see, just like in the parable that we just read, God's forgiving us is our motive. That alone should motivate us to want to forgive someone else. Here in Ephesians chapter 4, the fact that we have been forgiven, therefore we are to do the same. So the forgiven one ought to live in the constant realization that they have been forgiven. You and I have been forgiven as a result of the grace and mercy and compassion and long-suffering and forbearance of God. And because of that, we should always be ready and we should always be willing to forgive others. Now, well, let's turn to Ephesians 4, verse 22. Put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. And he goes on and leads to the verses that we just read. And we see he mentions some things that grieve the Spirit of God. And all of this is things that come from a failure to forgive. And Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. Forbearing one another. You see, that's what the Lord of the servant did, and that's what the servant who was forgiven failed to do. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. But it gets back to the question, can you forgive somebody that doesn't ask to be forgiven? Again, I know immediately some people are going to say, no, you can't. But I would submit to you that everyone here has forgiven people that never asked for your forgiveness. Every one of us have done that. Anyone who's had children, don't tell me you haven't done that. Your children don't say they're sorry every time, but you forgive them. A person does not have to ask for forgiveness in order to be forgiven. So that attitude, well, I don't have to forgive them because they haven't asked. No, you don't have to. But again, is it right? You forgive those you want to forgive, is what it boils down to. We forgive those that we want to forgive. Now, I believe, and I know there's some here that disagree, and I know there's some preachers that would disagree, but I believe there is a difference between forgiveness and restoration. We can forgive somebody without them even asking to be forgiven. I don't believe that that person can be restored as far as church fellowship is concerned until they ask for forgiveness. And that's another lesson. But there is a difference between forgiving someone and restoring someone to full favor. You may forgive someone, but you may not ever restore them to full favor. I'm sorry, but if you break into my house and steal, I can forgive you, but I promise you I'm not giving you a key to my house tomorrow. That's not happening. That's not going to happen. And the truth is, though I forgive you, I may not want you in my house. You see, you've been forgiven, but you haven't been restored. There is a difference. There is a difference. And there are many, many, many examples. But refusal to reconcile, we talked about worship earlier, and refusal to reconcile prevents us. It doesn't just hinder us. It prevents us from worshiping the Lord. Matthew 5, if we turn there, and we're going to close, but Matthew 5, verse 23 and 24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, he's worshiping. Here is a stated time of worship. And there, at the altar, the stated place of worship, you remember that your brother has aught against thee. Now, this doesn't say that you have aught against your brother. You remember that your brother has something against you. You're to leave your gift before the altar. You're to go your way first, that is, before you offer your gift, first be reconciled to thy brother. And then, you see an order here, first and then, that's an order. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. There is a desire here to be forgiven. And everyone who has offended anyone should desire to be forgiven. Well, they shouldn't have said what they said, and if they wouldn't have said what they said, then I wouldn't have said what I said, and on you can go. But the truth is, if you've offended someone, you should desire to be forgiven so that you can worship God. And you can turn that around. If someone has sinned against you, if someone has offended you, you should desire to forgive them. Now, are some cases more difficult than others? Yes, they are. There's no question about that. Is some cases far more difficult to forgive than others? Yes. But again, it's the right thing. The right thing. We've been forgiven, and now we are to forgive as well. And this is something that will always come up. As long as there's people, the subject of forgiveness is a needed subject. As long as there are people who have any kind of relationship with one another at all, occasions are going to arise when you are going to have to forgive. And believe it or not, there are occasions that are going to arise where people are going to have to forgive you. You desire to be forgiven. There isn't anybody who does wrong who does not desire to be forgiven. I mean, somewhere there is a desire to be forgiven. They may go about it completely wrong, whatever. But there is a desire to be forgiven. But perhaps more important is we need a desire to forgive. A desire to forgive. We can forgive someone even if they do not change their behavior. We can forgive what they did even if they continue to do the same thing. We can continue to forgive them. You don't restore them. Not if you got any sense. I mean, if they're continuing to do what they do, you're a fool. If you restore them to a position of trust. You just don't do that. If someone keeps on stealing, you don't make them the treasure of the church.
That would be utter foolishness.
You may forgive them from stealing from you, but you don't put a thief in charge of the money. You just don't do that. It's not very smart. So, but my whole point is, we that are forgiven, it ought to be our desire. It ought to be our desire to forgive. To forgive others. Whether we have a legal right to do whatever the law says we can do, we still ought to have a desire to forgive, simply because no matter how badly a person offends me, they cannot do more than what I did against the Lord. And I can never forgive them more than from what the Lord forgave me. And that's what that parable talks about. And therefore, we ought to always be willing to forgive. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord.